Penguin Random House Audio presents Why Not Me? This is the author, Mindy Kaling. Hello again. In seventh grade, I started at a new school. On the first day, I was so anxious to make friends, I brought a family-sized bag of Skittles to homeroom so I could pass them out and entice my new classmates to talk to me. "Do you like Skittles?" I asked. Kids would nod cautiously. "Here, take some. I'm Mindy," I said, trying to rope them into conversation. It didn't work very well. Even back then, the kids thought this was suspicious behavior, like I was covering for something unseemly that they couldn't quite pinpoint. Still, I persisted, striking up conversations like a middle school Hare Krishna and cornering kids with aggressively banal chit-chat. "That's so funny you like the color blue. I like turquoise. We're so similar." I did this until my art teacher, Mr. Posner, pulled me aside. Mr. Posner was soft-spoken and wouldn't let us talk about the movie Silence of the Lambs because it contained violence against women. I hated him. "You don't have to give people candy to make them like you, Mindy," he said. "They will like you for you." I nodded meaningfully, knowing he wanted to see that my mind had been blown away by his awesome humanity. Then he took my Skittles, and I thought, what a load of garbage. At 12 years old, I had experienced enough to have zero faith in the power of my looks or personality to reel in friends I wanted so badly. I needed my Skittles. The next day, I brought in more, and Mr. Posner called my parents. The Skittles stopped, and I wished that Mr. Posner was trapped in the bottom of a well and later killed, like in Silence of the Lambs. My parents encouraged me to play field hockey, where I eventually did end up making a few friends. I remember that time as one of the most stressful periods of my life. Every kid wants approval, but my desire to be well-liked was central to my personality. As I got older, I got craftier and less obvious, but I've always put a lot of energy and effort into people liking me. That's why I've never understood the compliment effortless. People love to say, "She just walked into the party, charming people with her effortless beauty." Well, I don't understand that at all. What's so wrong with effort anyway? It means you care. What about the girl who walked into the party, her determination to please apparent on her eager face? Sure, she might seem a little crazy, and yes, maybe everything she says sounds like conversation starters she found on a website, but at least she's trying. Let's give her a shot. And these days, I find I'm caring less and less about what people think of me. Maybe it's my age. Maybe it's my security and my career. Maybe it's because I'm Skiller of Flesh and the Dalla Dalla Billy Y'all, but if I had to identify my overall feeling these days, it's much more, screw it, here's how I really feel. The truth is, it's hard to get people to like you, but it's even harder to keep people liking you. You'd have to bring in Skittles every single day. The result of my not caring so much about what I say allows me to care more about how I say it. I think it makes my writing more personal and more enjoyable. If you're listening to this, you're probably a woman. Or perhaps you're a gay man getting a present for your even gayer friend. Maybe you accidentally bought this thinking it was the Malala book. However this book made its way from the female humor / brave minority voices / stress-free summer reads section of your bookstore to your hands, it doesn't matter. The important thing is you're listening to me now. Welcome. I'm excited to share my stories with you so you can hear what I'm really like. If my childhood, teens, and 20s were about wanting people to like me, now I want people to know me. So, this is a start. Enjoy. Mindy Kaling, Los Angeles, California. For the ladies. How to Look Spectacular, A Starlet's Confessions. At some point in the past few years, I transformed from Mindy Kaling, boring, anonymous comedy writer who buys her bras at TJ Maxx, to Mindy Kaling, red carpet glamour puss with perfect skin and shiny hair, outfitted in the latest fashion garments. This second person is the creation of a handful of talented people whose job it is to make me look good. I'm of course talking about the hair, makeup, costume, lighting, spackling, and hoisting departments. They all work hard, so all I have to do is show up in my sweatpants and zit cream and say the magic words, "Make me look gorgeous or you're fired." I'm just kidding. I don't do that. In fact, I don't have to do anything. That's why I'm a starlet. I mean, extremely grateful. If you're curious what I look like before all these people have worked their magic on me, just imagine Gollum from Lord of the Rings. Now, usually, people privy to this kind of valuable information keep it to themselves, because an unspoken rule among actresses is never tell any other woman the secrets of your beauty, even if she's a 95-year-old background actor playing a cadaver. Today, she's a cadaver. Tomorrow, she's a cadaver on a CBS drama trying to balance a love life in her demanding job as a district attorney, you think suspiciously. That's why when actresses are asked in interviews about their obvious face-altering plastic surgery, they say things like, "Oh, I would never get any work done." Then how do I look like this? "Oh, it's just a lot of rest, meditation, staying hydrated." One of the great things about women's magazines is that they accept that drinking water and sitting quietly will make your breasts huge and lips plump up the size of two bratwursts. Maybe it's because I'm such a rule breaker, maybe it's because I'm so down to earth, or maybe it's because you spent money on this book and I don't want you to return it, but I've decided to share my beauty secrets with you. Now you too can go from looking like Gollum in Lord of the Rings to a sexy, authentic Hollywood lady. Just listen to all the secrets I've learned and incorporate them into your own routine. It's easy, my precious. Get your hair on fleek. Is that word still cool? Was it ever? The first thing you need to know is that the hair on your head is worthless. The color, the length, the thickness, everything. You will never see anyone on TV sporting their own God-given hair, unless it's on, like, a sad miniseries about factory workers in East Germany. The same goes for hair color. Yes, your natural color may be appropriate for your skin tone, but this isn't the land of appropriate. This is Hollywood, baby. Out here, a dark-skinned woman's traditional hair color is honey blonde. A hip white woman's natural hair color is gray lavender. The real trick to having gorgeous hair is quantity. Piles of thick, cascading, My Little Pony-style hair signifies youth. So if you don't have that, you are basically announcing that you are old and dying. To keep up with this trend, everyone uses hair extensions. And I mean everyone. The stenographer who doesn't speak in that judge show you watch. The Long Island medium. Clooney. Castle. Everybody on the Today Show, but no one in the orange room. The entire family getting a new house on Extreme Home Makeover, including the kids. Charlie Rose. The obese woman on My 600-Pound Life. There are fable stories of what exactly is on Jeremy Piven's head. I am not throwing shade. I would look like the Crypt Keeper if you saw me with my natural hair on TV. It's a volume game, and he or she with the most hair wins. This is how you know you have enough hair. The weight of it gives you a splitting headache. At the end of the day, you find stuff in it, like receipts and wet Tic Tacs. If you are topless, your long and thick hair easily covers both of your breasts, which is great if you have to run to CVS and all your tops are in the wash. Hair is always getting caught in your armpits. You can pull guests up to the window of your second-story apartment with your hair, Rapunzel style. You're probably wondering where all this hair is coming from. Remember in middle school history class when you learned about the Dutch East India Company? They would travel all over Asia and India for spices to ship on the spice route to the New World. That mercantile route is essentially the same geographical route hair travels to get to actresses in Los Angeles. Locks of hair are culled from women in Asia and India. But instead of from the Dutch East India Company, you get them from places in downtown Los Angeles, with names like Diva Styles Human Hair by Giovanna. If you think about where your hair came from for too long, it can be very sad. So I prefer to tell myself vague lies, like maybe they're all deeply spiritual women, and cutting their hair off is part of some beautiful religious ritual. So they were going to do it anyway, and now they're just getting paid for it. Which is better than the reality that these women are all Fantine and we are monsters stealing their hair. You're probably wondering what you should do with the hair once you have it. I wear colorful, complicated clothes, so I keep my hair and makeup very simple. If I wear a neon yellow coat over a checkerboard dress and also have heavy eyeshadow and Orphan Annie curls, I will look like your aunt who just came out during Pride weekend. I have to pick my appearance battles. If you're Natalie Dormer, you can take big fashion risks and shave half your head and it still looks good. If you're a normal person and you try that, it just looks like you had recent brain surgery. Spray tans. Surprise! I've been white all along.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?